your new identity, the real you, who you are in your spirit. You're a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. That spirit man was once dead in trespasses and sins, but the moment you got born again, something happened on the inside, and you became a new creation on the inside, where old things passed away, they all came to an end by death and burial, and where all things became new. All things became new, and now all things are of God. That new creation life began in resurrection. For you were born again by the Spirit of God. You were born again, and you were when you were born again unto a new and a living hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only were you resurrected together with Christ, but you were made to sit together with him in heavenly places at the Father's right hand. So even though we may be physically in this room, yet your spirit man has been made alive together with Christ, and you are seated and you are functioning from the Father's right hand in the place of ascension. You and I have been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have been planted into this new covenant. We are forgiven, cleansed, freed from every sense of guilt, shame, insecurity, condemnation, because of the power of that blood that has justified us. As if that is not enough, we have got a new life. The life that we now have, it is the life of Christ. The Spirit of God brought us out of darkness, placed us in the kingdom of his dear Son, and in addition to that, he also gave us the very life of Christ, so that there is now Christ within us, the hope of glory, and he has given us the authority of his name, so that we have life through his name. We have access to the throne of God through the name of Jesus. By the power and authority of that name, we are able to make devils and demons bow. We are able to declare unto the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. And God has Christ himself living on the inside of us. And by the Spirit of God, bringing his word to our remembrance. Bringing up those promises that belong to us. And all of those promises are yes and amen. Christ is within us, providing divine utterance, so that we know how to speak as we ought to speak. And so that we are able to speak according to that which is finished. And Christ, who is alive within us, he rises up and he brings fulfillment to what he has already done. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So we are a new creation. You are brand spanking new on the inside. That new person in the inside is created in righteousness and true holiness. Everything about him is of God. All things have become new. The peace, he has a peace which passes all understanding. It is the peace of God. He's got the joy of the Lord. That is his strength. He has been made the very righteousness of God, not by works which he has done, but by the free gift of God. Jesus became sin, and you are now made the righteousness of God in Christ, so that you can stand in the presence of a holy God, not having any sense of condemnation, but you are able to stand in the presence of God as if you've never ever done anything wrong. For in his sight, through the blood, you are holy, you are blameless, and you are without fault. That is the reality of this new creation. All things are of God. You even have the very mind of Christ. You've got a peace of God which passes all understanding. Oh, and you've got a new name, the name of Jesus. Amen. So we've been talking about this, the reality of this new identity that you have. And as we come to a comprehension of this new identity, we also find that this new identity is also your liberty. Because, you see, this new person on the inside, the Word of God says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So there's an absolute total freedom that is inside your born-again spirit. For God has called you not only out of darkness, but he has called you not only to his light, but he has called you into liberty. And everything that he has called you to, you already have on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So your spirit man has total, complete liberty. Now, what needs to happen now is that we need to become established in this new person that we are. We do not want to be functioning in the flesh one time and in the spirit next time. God desires for us to function out of our spirit, for us to walk in the spirit, for us to be led by the Spirit, for us to live as a new creation, the new creation that we are, as the very sons of God. So now it is about us possessing, in other words, here we are a new creation. We have this new identity. It's in our spirit, but we need to possess it. We need to bring it out into our soul, into our mind, into our body, into our life. And that liberty that we have in our spirit, we need to have it manifested so that we live a life of liberty. We live a life where we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We don't live a life with all the limitations and that the world suffers under. Glory to God. So that's what it's about. So today we want to talk about possessing your new identity. Isaiah chapter 54. Let's flip over there with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pick it up in verse 13. It says all your, and this is God the Father. This is God prophesying. God is literally prophesying, looking forward to this day when we are here. And he's looking at us as to how it's going to be and the desire of his own heart. And we are here right now. Say, we're here. It says, all my children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. This peace is a great peace. This peace is so great that there is nothing broken, there is nothing missing, that there is a wholeness to it. But even beyond that, the reality of this peace is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the sacrifice of Christ, when Jesus went to the cross, he reconciled everything that is in heaven and in earth back to the Father. He reconciled everything that is visible and invisible so that all things are reconciled to God and the works of God are finished in the realm of the Spirit. So when you and I face difficult, challenging situations, we are not in denial as to what it is we're dealing with, but we are able to walk into that situation with a great sense of confidence, knowing that this situation that appears to be against me, that wants to destroy me, we can walk in that situation having on the gospel shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. We can walk in that situation having a confidence that this situation has already been conquered. This situation has already been reconciled to God. So that in the midst of it all, no matter what it looks like, we can have this confidence that a God of peace shall bruise the devil underneath our feet shortly. We can walk into any situation and believe God that is going to work together for our good. So he says, my children will be taught of me, and great shall be their peace in that day. That day in which the covenant of peace is now is established, and it is now. We are in that covenant of peace by the blood of the everlasting covenant. And then he goes on to say, in righteousness shall they be established. For they shall be far from oppression, for they shall not fear. And from terror, it shall not come near them. So here we are, taught by the Spirit of God, established in this new covenant of peace. This peace, which is a inner quietness. Isaiah 32 verse 17 says, the effect of righteousness. So God said we're going to be taught by his Spirit. We're going to be taught by his word. We're going to be taught by the ministry gifts that he placed within the body of Christ to bring us to a place where we will become so established, rooted, and grounded in righteousness. Rooted and grounded in the very nature that he has placed on the inside of us. For we have been created in righteousness and true holiness. And as we are established in that righteousness, in that oneness with God, in that authority that belongs to us, in that freedom from condemnation and guilt and shame and insecurity and inferiority, having been washed by the blood of Jesus, as we are established in that place, what comes out of that is a peace. A peace that passes all understanding. It says the effect of that righteousness is peace, internally and externally. Because you see, even on the external level, there's issues that happen between us and with other people and the environment and so on. But that righteousness that has been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus is so that we can live in a world with all of the conflicts, and yet we can have walls of strife and division and conflict be torn down by the power and the authority of what Jesus has finished. Hallelujah. so that there could be reconciliation within families and within relationships, so that we can overcome the external conflicts. But then we can also overcome the internal conflicts, the anxieties, the fears, the discouragement, the disappointment, the woundedness that happens in life. I mean, all kinds of things happen in people in people's lives. And bruises, stuff happen on the inside. And you look at them on the outside, you can't see it. But it's happening on the inside. On the inside, there is turmoil. On the inside, there is conflict. On the inside, there are some internal things happening. Well, Isaiah 32, verse 17 says that the effect of that righteousness is peace. The effect of that righteousness is an inner quietness. And in that quietness, there is a confidence. In quietness, it says in Isaiah 30 and verse 15, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Say, I'm strong. I have the peace of God. I am the righteousness of God. So as we are established in the righteousness, we shall be far from oppression and we shall not fear. But the Spirit of the Lord is speaking the desire of the heart of God, which is for us His children to be established in that righteousness. That means established in this new nature that we have. That new nature is one of righteousness and holiness. For Jesus was made to be sin for us. Why? So that we might be made the righteousness of God. Where? In Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The very righteousness of God. We are told in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 7 that we are to be clothed with the armor of righteousness. We are told in Isaiah 61 verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and with the robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What am I saying? I am saying that we are to be rooted, grounded, and planted in this righteousness. But the fact and function out of that place, God wants us to be established. Say established. Say rooted. Say grounded. But now the experiences of our life is such that from time to time it seems that we are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The experiences of our life, every one of us, because none of us have arrived yet. Say, I've left the station. Amen, I'm on the way. But none of us have arrived yet. Like as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, I have not yet apprehended that for which God has apprehended me. God has apprehended us to walk and to live in the reality of the person of Christ, to be established in righteousness, to manifest his life, manifest his nature, manifest his power, be free from every offense, every curse, on any domination and even influence from the kingdom of darkness. But we're on the way. We're not there yet. God wants us to walk in such a love out of which where it is a perfecting love. But we're not there yet, but we're on the way. But as we are on the way, what happens, as I said, we run into some issues. And what happens is, and we can find ourselves being tossed to and fro. We could find ourselves being double-minded. And the scripture says, as we function in God, let us do so in faith, not in double-mindedness, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And he's tossed to and fro. Amen. Now, when we think of double-minded, quite often we think of somebody being wishy-washy. Oh, I believe God. No, I don't believe God. Oh, I think this is happening. No, this. And it includes that, but it's more than that. It is. You see, when you and I try to function in the reality of this new creation, this new man, but at the same time we're operating in the realm of carnality, then that's a double-mindedness in and of itself. Because God has called us, and as I said, we're on the way. Say, I'm on the way. We are to be spiritually minded, which is life and peace. To be carnally minded is a different thing altogether. It leads to separation. It leads to death. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. So as we are established in this righteousness, instead of being double-minded, we become single-minded. We become so single-minded that we function in the mind of Christ and in the mind of God. Hello? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Halabako sondo rembe shelede rabaro kutaba. Mangande de be kuraketaba. Why is this so important? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think will project into your future. Why? Because the way you think, especially how you think in abundance, is how you're going to speak. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And there is life and death in the power of your tongue. A man's belly, a man's life, a man's stomach will be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. And he is speaking from that which is in excess, having to do with his thinking. Now, this is critical, you see, because as we become established in this new nature and we function out of our spirit, we function out of that righteousness, then the words that we speak, they come from our spirit, not from our head. I like to encourage myself and I like to encourage others that when you make declarations, when you make decrees, when you bind, when you loose, when you operate in the realm of prayer, don't just speak from your head. Endeavor to speak from your spirit. Endeavor to speak from your spirit. Why is that? Because when you're functioning from your spirit, when you're functioning from that new nature, that is when the words that you speak will not just be mere words, but it will be spirit and life. Remember Jesus said that? You see, it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, that with the heart you believe unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation, to cause the manifestation of healing or deliverance or whatever it is. But now you see, yes, with the mouth confession is made unto. But where is this speaking coming from? Where is this declaration? Where is it coming from? Is it coming just from my head? Is it coming from the figmentation of my mind? Where am I speaking from? I must speak from righteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. And now that a man has been, in other words, righteousness is over there, is that right? So with the heart I believe unto righteousness. Now I'm here in righteousness. And from this place, with my mouth, confession is now made unto salvation and my deliverance. So my speaking needs to come from righteousness. My speaking needs to come from this place where God wants me to be established in a unity with himself, in union with Christ, in oneness with him. I need to speak from this place of righteousness, where I have the very authority of the name of Jesus. I need to speak from this place of righteousness, where I am not under condemnation and guilt and shame and insecurity and inferiority, but I know I'm washed and I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the accusations that can come from the enemy, I don't have to listen to them. I could shut them down because he has been cast down and I've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. So this new life that is in you is in your spirit. Now I'm going to make a shift. This new life that is in your spirit is also to be formed in the rest of your being. Not just in your spirit. You see, your spirit is fine. Your spirit is created in righteousness and true holiness. The inner man, the hidden man of the heart, incorruptible, undefiled, faded not away. He is wonderful. But the problem is the soul. The problem is the mind. The problem is the emotions. The problem sometimes is the physical body. And all right? So we need that nature of God, that new man on the inside, to be formed in the other areas on the outside. For that reason, Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, he says, my little children, you mean they're born again, they're his children, of whom I travail again, that Christ might be formed in you. In other words, Paul travailed concerning them before, and they got born again. But Paul says, that's wonderful. You're born again. You know, my little children. But I need for you to grow up. I need for you to mature. I need that Christ that is formed in your spirit also to be formed in your mind, in your will, in your emotions. Are you with me? So he says, I travail again. Well, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this new life that is in your spirit also being made manifest in your soul and in your body. In Ephesians chapter 3, again, Paul is praying for the body of Christ. And he says, for this cause, For Philippians 3, verse 14, he says, for this cause, the very cause that you might know the fellowship and intimacy and the oneness that you have with God in Christ, that you might know the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because, concerning that very mystery, Paul says, this life of Christ in you, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. What for? So that, verse 17, that Christ might dwell in your hearts. So that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you would be rooted and grounded in the love of God, rooted and grounded in the nature of God, rooted and grounded in righteousness, rooted and grounded in the reality of who you are. He says that Christ might be formed in your hearts, that Christ might dwell in your hearts. But why would Paul pray that Christ might dwell in my heart? I thought I'm born again. And if I'm born again, the word of God says, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not born again. He's none of his. Amen? But Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, you are of God, if indeed Christ, let me get it correctly. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So you are born again, Christ is in you. Well, what is Paul talking about? Why is Paul praying that Christ might dwell in your heart by faith when he's already there? Why? Why is he praying that? The reason he's praying that is because, yes, Christ is there. But you see, there's a spirit chamber of your heart, which is the one that is born again, the hidden man of the heart. And then there's a soul chamber of your heart. Amen? And that soul chamber of your heart is what needs some work. So Paul is travailing again, and Paul is praying that Christ might be formed in that soul chamber, that Christ might dwell in your heart by faith. So this is what we're talking about. We are talking about this new life, this new creation life, this new identity, not just remaining in your spirit, but moving over and beginning to take over in the realm of your soul. Amen. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Glory to God. Say, I'm getting this. Are you getting this? Hello? All right, help me here. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. Now, I believe God is strengthening you with might so that you are able to grasp, get a hold of these things and run with it. Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 21. And you who once were alienated, you were enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled you in the body of his flesh, the flesh of Jesus. How? Through death. What for? To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Wonderful. If indeed you will now continue in the faith, grounded, settled, you hearing these words? Grounded, settled, rooted, established, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel. Christ living in you, Christ living through you. Which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is his church. Now, verse 25, I want you to notice this. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me, Paul. What for? For you. Why? To fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages. To fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints, To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me back up. I became a minister, verse 25, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me to fulfill the word of God, the mystery. To fulfill the word of God, the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, this to fulfill the word of God. Now, I remember I used to think it's this, and it's okay to, and this is not often left field, in that Paul was saying that my assignment is to see the promises of God fulfilled in your life, and to see the word of God fulfilled in your life, which is fine too. But that's not what it's talking about. He was talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. He was talking about the hope of the gospel. And what he's actually saying, what is that word that is being fulfilled? What is that word? That word to fulfill the word of God. Christ himself is the word of God. Christ himself is the word of God. And so this is actually saying, it is not saying the word being fulfilled. The word being fulfilled is not the Bible being fulfilled. It's not talking about the Bible being fulfilled. What is it talking about? It is talking about that life of Christ becoming fulfilled and becoming a reality for you. I'm going to shift it another bit. Before you were born again, from before the foundation of the world, God said in a number of places, but in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, it says that he saved you and he called you with a holy calling. Not according to the works, not according to your works, not according to anything you have done or because of the family you're going to be born in, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ from before the world began. What is all that saying? There are things that God said about you. Details for your life. And it certainly begins with Christ being inside of you. So God had spoken certain things concerning you. Let's call the things that God had spoken concerning you the utterances of God. Is that okay? Is that okay? Can you receive that? So God uttered some things concerning you. So Paul was actually praying. Paul was actually saying, I am a minister called and anointed of God with this assignment. And that is to cause the word of God, the utterance of God concerning you to be fulfilled. Does that make sense? Amen. And of course, that has to do with this new person that you are. And so he says in verse 27, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That every man will be matured. Every man will be presented perfect in Christ. Every man, it will not just be Christ in his spirit, but it will be Christ formed in him. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So your new identity is your liberty. Because as Jesus says in John 8:36, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Yet new identity is your liberty. Your spirit man is as free as freedom is. Galatians 5 verse 13 says, God had called you to liberty. Well, everything God has called you to, you have in your spirit. In your spirit, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing that exists. You have all the liberty you could ever desire in your spirit. Now, Galatians chapter 6 verse 14 and 16. It says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only thing I'm going to boast in, the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. By whom the world has been crucified to me, and I'm crucified to the world. I'm dead to the world. The world is dead to me. The world does not dictate to me, and their voice I don't hear. For in Christ Jesus, it's neither circumcision nor circumcision availeth. And that word availeth means makes much power available that is dynamic in its working. Amen? It is used in James chapter 5 and I think verse 16. That the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. the effectual fervent prayer of that righteous man functioning from there availeth much. It makes much power available that is dynamic in its working. So it is saying, being uncircumcised, that don't produce any kind of power. Being circumcised, that don't produce any kind of power. So it's not about being circumcised or uncircumcised. It's not about keeping of the law. It's not about works. But it is what? It is the new creation. In other words, the new creation, that new creation on the inside of you, that's what makes power available. That is why we need to focus on this new creation. This new creation that is on the inside of you has so much power that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 that we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power that is in us, that is according to that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Say, I got power. Amen. So it is the new creation on the inside. This is the dynamite. It is from here that the victory comes. It's from here that the transformation comes. And that is why you need to take what's in here and draw it out. That's why it says we got to draw out this salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. All right. Say, I'm getting this. Praise the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. So we are to become this new creation, this new identity that we have. We need to possess this thing. We need this new identity to be so immersed in it. It is to take us over. It is to permeate every part of our being. It must control our thinking, control our speaking, control our attitudes. This new identity, this new creation, this new person, this real you on the inside must take you over. Amen? All right, James chapter 1, reading from verse 18. Now it says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Well, we weren't born again by the will of men, but we were born again by the word of God and by the will of God and by the spirit of God. Is that right? All right. Why? That we might be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Well, we are a new creation. We are new creatures. So it's talking about us being new creatures. It's talking about this new creation. It's talking about the new person that we are on the inside. That's the subject. So then, my beloved brethren, don't let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Because the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflowing wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted, implanted word which is able to save your soul. Because the soul needs to come under the dominion of the word of God and the spirit of God and needs to come in agreement with that new creation that is on the inside. Your soul needs to come in harmony with the real you. And it says the word of God, if it gets engrafted, is able to do that. But we are talking about that new creation. We are talking about that new identity. We are talking about that new creature. So it goes on to say, in verse 22, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, sure, there's an application of being a doer of the word, but this is specifically talking about being a doer of that new creation. Line up with that new creation. Live like that new creation. That new creation is light. That new creation is holiness. That new creation is righteousness. That new creation is in harmony, is the love of God. Therefore, we cannot be operating in wickedness. We cannot be operating in lying and cheating. We cannot be operating in adultery. We cannot be operating in filthiness. We cannot be operating in the wrath of man, because those things are not consistent with that new creation man. Are you with me? So it says, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer. A doer of what? That new creation man. And so it goes on to say, because look, if anyone is just a hearer, but he's not a doer, he is like a man that is observing his natural face in the mirror. Observing what? His face. The one that is not a doer. We're talking about you. We're not just talking about the doing of the word. We're talking about the doing of that person that is on the inside. It's like a man that looks at his natural face in the mirror, walks away . For anyone that is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, and he observes himself, but then he goes away and immediately he forgot what kind of man he was. You see, when you look into the mirror of the word of God, what do we see? We see the glory of God. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Why would I see the glory of the Lord when I look into the mirror of the Word of God? Why? Because when I stand in front of the mirror, you're going to have a reflection of what's standing before it. And the scripture in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 saying that when you stand before the mirror of the Word of God, which shows you what you are on the inside, what it shows up there is the glory. Because the very essence of your born-again spirit is the glory of God. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus didn't just come to get us saved, but he came to bring many sons to glory. Are you with me? Jesus says in another place, the glory you have given me, Father, I've given them. John 17, 22, I think it is. So here we are. We observe our face in the mirror. But then what happened? And we see, oh, I'm a new creation. Oh, I see the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. Oh, I see that I have authority over the enemy. I see I can come boldly to the throne of grace, not timidly. I see that I've been washed, I've been cleansed, I'm not under condemnation, I'm no shame, and I see all of that. But then what happened? I walk away from the mirror, and then I run into a situation, and all of a sudden, fear comes. I run into a situation, and then I yield to sin. I run into a situation, and I forgot that I have power over the enemy. I forgot I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I forgot that the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I forgot that I'm an epistle of Christ. I forgot all that stuff. And so I walk away, and now I'm just seeing myself in my history, what I did in the past. I'm seeing myself because maybe I flunked out of school. I'm seeing myself with the fact that, oh, I was violated. And so I'm seeing myself in my humanity instead of seeing myself in the glory of God. Are you with me? So the scripture therefore says in verse 24, he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Well, what should the next verse say? What should come out of this? The next verse ought to say, don't forget when you walk away. Shouldn't it say that? Right? So the next verse is, but. Say that but is for me. but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that law that has the capacity to produce perfect liberty, he that looks into that perfect law of liberty and continues in it, stays with it, becomes established in it, is rooted and grounded in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Do you see it? So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that you and I must become rooted, anchored, and settled in this new creation man, in who we are in Christ, in our new identity, in the new you. You and I must be established in that. How many of us want to have liberty? Don't you want to have liberty? Don't you want to be free from sickness and disease and poverty and lack and every type of curse? Don't you want to be living in a place where no matter what's going on, no matter who says what and who does what and what is happening in the environment, that you are able to live in a place of such absolute freedom? Wouldn't you want that? Well, but the thing about it is you cannot live perpetually in that realm of liberty without being established in the new man. Because the new creation man, the essence of his being, he is free indeed. The new man, the new creation, the new you is liberty. So when you, and Jesus, it says in Galatians 5 verse 1, he has, 5 verse 13, he's called us to liberty. 5 verse 1, stand fast in that liberty. So to have the liberty and enjoy the liberty, you got to become established in the new creation, in who you really are. Amen? To live in liberty is to live here. Here where? In this new creation. Hallelujah. Now, how is that going to happen? Well, it means you're going to have to, remember, don't walk away from that mirror, that perfect law of liberty, and forget what you saw. But what you got to do? You got to bind yourself to what you saw in the mirror. You're going to have to literally abandon yourself to that new man. You're going to have to adapt yourself to the new you on the inside. You're going to have to let the new you control your thinking, your speaking, your attitudes, your actions, so that you become established, anchored in him. And as you do, liberty will be the overflow, will be the result. This man shall be blessed in all of his deeds. Amen? So you got to give yourself to the knowledge of the new man. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, put on the new man. Put him on. Put him on. Say, put him on. All right. Put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So I'm saying to you, you got to give yourself over to the knowledge of the new man. Colossians chapter 3, reading from verse 1 to, let me read it from verse 1. If you were risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep it set on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is now hid with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory, because Christ is your life. Therefore, that being the case, given that this is what's going on, this is your life, it's the life of Christ, and you got to be fixed on who you are, whose you are, where you live, and live that way. Conduct yourself accordingly. That being the case, verse 5 says, therefore, put to death your members that are in the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Put them all to death, which means what? Mortify them. Kill them off. You see what happened is, Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, know ye not that the old man, that sin nature, that old man was crucified. He died. He was buried. He does not exist anymore. The old man, know ye not, that means you got to know this, was crucified. We know it was with Christ. Was crucified. And then it says, so that the body of sin might be destroyed. Old man crucified. Body of sin might be destroyed. The mean body of sin must still be alive. Does that make sense? But it is also saying, if you don't know the old man is crucified, that body of sin that might be destroyed ain't going to be destroyed. So you got to start off with recognizing the old man is crucified. What does that mean? Can you imagine, here you have a vehicle. And it works. It has an engine. And because of that engine, it can get from point A to point B. But you take out the engine, is that vehicle going to go anywhere? No. Well, the engine that used to drive it was that old sin nature. He is dead. He has been taken out. So you need to recognize that. And when that car tries like it wants to move, you say, no, 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 no. Yes, you might seem to have some parts in there. Yes, you still have a carburetor. Does that still exist? Yes, you still might have an ignition. Okay. Yes, you may have some tires, but you're not going nowhere. Amen? So you've got to decide, the old man has been crucified, and because of that, I am now going to take that truth, and I am going to not let my members be an instrument of unrighteousness to serve the devil's kingdom, but they're going to be an instrument of righteousness. And I'm going to train my members to serve God. I will present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. I am going to mortify and kill off my body. I'm going to cut up those tires. Are you with me? Hello? Come on, somebody smile. Come on, smile at me. All right, thank you very much. I'm encouraged. Hallelujah. So because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, seeing you have put off the old man. Remember, the old man was crucified. So don't walk in that type of conduct and behavior anymore. Now your conduct must be as it becometh the gospel. Now your conduct must be in harmony with the gospel. Now your conduct, your thinking, your believing, your actions, your attitude must now be in harmony with the reality of the gospel, which is the reality of Christ in you. That produces holiness. You thought there was grace without holiness? All right. So don't lie to one another, since you have put off all the old man with his deeds. Put on this new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Put on this new man, and give yourself to the knowledge of this new man, wherein there is neither Greek nor Jew or circumcision nor uncircumcision or barbarian or Scythian or slave or free or black or white or this culture or that culture or any other such thing, but Christ is all and in all. Everything within that new creation man is made up of Christ. Everything. Every single thing, the joy, the peace, the fruits of the Spirit, they're not in short supply. They are all in your born-again spirit. We have these treasures in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen? So adapt yourself to the new you, in your thinking, in your attitudes, in your speaking, in your actions. Don't think carnal. Think spiritual. Let your mind be in line with the law of God, not the law of sin and death. Philippians 1:27 says, let your conduct, your conversation, let it be in harmony with the gospel. Let it be worthy of the gospel. And that gospel is Christ in you. Galatians 2:14, Peter caught himself in a bit of a hypocritical type of behavior, and Paul rebuked him. And Paul said this. Paul said Peter was not walking upright in the gospel. Amen? So what is this of walking upright in the gospel? What is this having your conversation and your thinking and your attitudes line up with the reality of who you are on the inside, of the real you? That is called the renewing of the mind. That is called the renewing of the mind. Now, the renewing of the mind is not just knowing what the Word of God says. It is, my mind is not renewed because I know Jesus bore my sicknesses, or because I know the scripture that Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my infirmities. If I know that, and if I know that scripture, but I'm not thinking healed, I'm thinking sickness, then my mind is not really renewed. Because if my mind is really renewed, then I'm going to think according to the Word. I'm going to talk according to the Word. And instead, I'm going to think, he daily loads me with benefits. I'm going to think, forget not all his benefits, who forgive me all my iniquities and heal my diseases. What do you mean, forget not? Oh, you mean it is in my forefront of my thinking. He forgive all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. By his stripes I am healed. This same spirit of raised up Christ from the dead dwells within me. Oh, but then here comes this virus. Here comes this thing that is trying to attack my body. What do I do? Oh, I'm not saying that I'm to be foolish, but at the same time, what do I know? I know that that law, the spirit of life in Christ, man, it's at work within me. It keeps me free from the law of sin and death, so that even if that virus comes into contact with my body, it must die. Therefore, I have no fear. But what is my point? My point is this, that the mind being renewed is not just knowing what the Word of God says. Your mind is renewed when you think the way the Word of God says, when you talk the way the Word of God says, when you have an attitude that lines up, when your conversation is become it as it become it the gospel. You like that word? Become it. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So, Ephesians 4:22. And 23 and 24 says, strip off the old man with his conversation, with the way he used to think and behave and speak and carry himself. Strip him off. strip them off the same way you would resurface, you would refinish a piece of furniture. And you will get that old paint off. You might probably get some, you're going to sand it. You might get a little blowtorch and put some fire to it and burn all that stuff off. Get rid of that old man with his deeds. And then it says in verse Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, right down to the core, right down to the attitude, right down to the very essence. Not just in word, but renew the whole spirit of your mind and put on the new man. Put on a new man and put on his conversation. He is created in righteousness and true holiness. What are we talking about? We're talking about possessing this new identity. Amen? Glory to God. So let this life of Christ and the nature of Christ dominate you. Live immersed in Christ. Live immersed in that new nature. Let the life of Christ, which is your life, let that dominate you. Christ in you, remember? Paul said, this is why I'm called. This is my assignment. To have the word of God fulfilled. In other words, God, what God has uttered and said about you, that mystery, Christ in you, is to get that fulfilled. Amen? You know, quite frankly, in some ways, I believe it's every part of the fivefold ministry there is to bring the centrality of Christ into the life of the believer. And for that which God has called and ordained us for, and what God has designed from before the foundation of the world, every minister of the gospel has an assignment to bring the believer to the place where it's functional. So that we could come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. So that we might grow up into the head, which is Christ, in all things. Glory to God. So if we say that, it says, so let the nature of Christ in you, let that dominate us. If we say that we abide in him, then we ought to walk also just as he walked. We ought to walk in love, in faith, in the light, in purity, in holiness, in righteousness. We are to grow up in all things into him who is the head of the body, Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are to grow up. Say, I'm just like Jesus. I yield to his life. His nature dominates me. So it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do the same. And above all of these things, put on love, that is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it act like an umpire, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ, the utterance of God, Christ speaking in you, let that dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And if you don't have a good voice, sing quiet. And whatever you do in word. No, sing. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. I'm sorry, I take that back. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Do everything in the person of Christ. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen? Let that life of Christ dominate you. Now, praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So, what are we talking about? We're talking about possessing this new identity. We're talking about living in the reality of this new man. We're talking about being rooted and grounded and settled in the new you. Well, who is the new you? Give it to me briefly. Okay, I'm glad you asked. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life I live is the life of Christ, and I live it by the faith of the Son of God. That's your new you. The new you, the old one is dead and gone and buried and crucified, and it is now the life of Christ. That's who you are. And that old you, now listen to me carefully here, that old you, before you were born again, He was all about I and me and my. Sounds like the devil. I'm going to exalt my throne above the Most High God. I am going to do be this. I, me. Right? That was an old man. That was him. Before you were born again, I, me, my. And it really was just him. But that person was crucified. Say he died. He was crucified. He died. And he was buried. What for? To get rid of him. He was buried in Jesus' death. Don't resurrect him. Keep him buried. Romans 6 verse 11 says, reckon yourself to be dead indeed, but alive unto God. So the new you, now, you got to capture this. This might be a new thought for you. I don't know. So make sure you get it. The old you that was the I and the me and the my, he died. He died with all of that personality and that consciousness, died, buried. But now here comes the new you. And here you are, resurrected together with Christ. At the same time with Christ. Raised up by the same power of God. Made to sit together with Christ. Where? In heavenly places. At the Father's right hand. Born again by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the new you. The new you is that I, is not that I, me, and my anymore. You were raised up together with Christ and in Christ by the power of God that raised you up. And quite frankly, 1 Peter 1, 5 says, the power of God keeps it that way. You are kept by that power of God. All right. So, in resurrection and in ascension, you are no longer I, me, and my. But in resurrection and ascension, you are now us, we, and our. Us, we, and our. It's a totally different mindset. It is a new identity. Your new mindset. And it's a new mentality that you got to have. It's just like in a marriage. Remember we talk about righteousness being oneness with God? Bear with me for just a few moments. It's just like in a marriage. Ephesians 5 verse 30 and 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You're one. So you're one. You and Christ are one. In him, you are one. So, and this is what righteousness is all about. Who are you? You are the righteousness of God in Christ. That is your identity. So, it is no longer I, me, and my, but it is we. Say we, number one. Or rather, let me change it around. Let's say the first we. It's going to make sense in a little while, okay? For the first we. This is who you are now. Which is what? Christ in you and you in him. Christ in you and you in him is we and us and our. It's not I and me and my. Did you get that? All right. Because this is how you got to think here. We are heading into how do we become established in liberty. And this is going to be critical when we get there next week. All right. So we got to begin to think and conduct ourselves that way. We got to begin to think and conduct ourselves that way. And when we do, when we start thinking as not I and me and my, but us, me and Jesus, Jesus and I and him and me. Jesus taught that way. I and the Father are one. Remember Jesus talked like that? Jesus says, we're going to come heal him. Amen. He says, I do the works. No, he says, I speak the word. The Father within me do the works. We got to make that switch too. All right. So when we get a hold of this, watch this. The God is now able to do exceedingly above all that we, say we, that we ask or think. That means our asking is in line with Jesus. The faith of Christ. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. I'm telling you, you go read your epistles and look for those we and us. You're going to get a brand new epistle. You're going to get a brand new Bible. Amen. And so there is that we. Say the first we. Say the first we. Say the first we. That's you and God. God in you. You and Jesus. That oneness. You and the Godhead. All right. But then there's a second we. Say second we. And that is the body of Christ. We are members one of another. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17 says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though we are many, we are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, when we begin to recognize the oneness we have within the body of Christ, oh, I'm telling you, first of all the schisms are going to disappear. Then when one member suffer, the other suffer. Then we'll be able to come into the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then we'll be able to move into that place of the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into the full measure of the stature of Christ. That is coming, but it's going to take this us. And when this us gets in there, when it's not I and me and my, but it's us, it's we, it's our, the oneness with God in Christ and the oneness within the body of Christ, watch what's going to happen. The church is going to move to a level where not only the works that he did, but the greater works than these we are going to do. And we are going to see manifestations of God beyond anything we could, above and beyond what we could ever ask or think, according to that power that is at work within us. We got to stop right here. Next week, where are we going? We're going to talk some more about this new identity that is your liberty. And more specifically, we're going to talk about how to be established in this liberty. How to get that liberty manifested. Because that liberty is not going to be manifested without being established in your new identity. So what we've said today just springboards us right smack into precisely how do we get established in this liberty and get it manifested. Hallelujah. Man, this applies to every area, healing, every area. Say glory to God. Say thank you, Lord. I receive. Thank you, Lord. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I thank you, Father. I am a new creation. Everything in my spirit is new and is of you. Jesus is my life. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my strength. Jesus is my joy. He is my peace. He is my sanctification. Jesus is my divine health. I am whole. I have it. Glory to God. Say this with me. Everything that Jesus finished is done in me. Everything that Jesus finished is manifested in my spirit. Now let me ask you something. Did Jesus bear your sicknesses and carry your infirmities? By his stripes you were healed. Is that true? Did Jesus finish your healing? Yes. Well, if Jesus finished your healing, and what he finished is in you and it's done in you, can you make that step? And one more step. Not only is it done in me, but I have the full manifestation of it in my spirit. So it's just a matter of drawing it out.